Thank you very much. You may be seated. And we want to give Brother Everson just a lot of time. And so we've given the choir the night off. All right, yes. And so that they like that. They work hard. I'm glad they get a night off. And Brother Everson, God bless you. Come back and just sing to us, preach to us, juggle round balls, whatever it is you'd like to do to be a blessing, brother. God bless you.
Amen.
Well, amen. Good evening. So glad to be back with you here tonight and looking forward to what the Lord will have this evening. I have to say that I was introduced to something this afternoon that I don't know how I lived without this. Pastor's probably going to guess what it is, but I experienced something entitled wilted lettuce. What's it called? Wilted lettuce salad. Okay. That was amazing. And I guess it's a West Virginia thing. Y'all have found the secret. Let me tell you, that was fantastic. Had a great time this afternoon fellowshipping with Pastor and his wife. I've been through West Virginia before, and I've seen that wilted lettuce. And I thought, who would want that, right? Who wants wilted lettuce? I'm not ordering that. And but then I finally asked what it was. Isn't that the way it is sometimes? You look at something, wow, I don't know I'd like that. And then you get into it. That's pretty good. It's pretty good. I appreciate that. So much. Well, anyway, tonight I just want to encourage you as much as I can in the Lord, because we live in times that can be discouraging. But you know, it's always healthy. It's always wonderful for us to go back and us think back in our minds to that time when we trusted Christ. When He reached down, He saved us. I wish my wife could be here. She's back home. In fact, she might be watching tonight. I know my parents are watching the live stream. Even my grandmother's watching the live stream tonight, so I got to behave. This is a song that's written by my wife, actually. She's not written very many songs, although she helps me with mine from time to time. But I love the message behind this song. It's entitled, I Am Free. My life was a cold, deep, dark place, confusing, painful, alone. My eyes could not focus, no joy filled my thoughts. Anger and pain seemed to reign on my heart's throne. Then I heard of God's love, I tasted relief. I felt healing hands touch my soul. Christ died for me. He took my shame. He changed my name. I am free. He broke the chains that held me there. His love surrounds me everywhere. He will supply my every care. I am not alone. Came down to earth to fulfill God's own plan, promised, foretold, and true. Crucified on that cross, paid all sin's cost. He bids you welcome to come, be made new. I was blind on that day, but His healing clay made me whole. My scales fell away. Christ died for me. He took my shame. He changed my name. I am free. He broke the chains that held me there. His love surrounds me everywhere. He will supply my every care. I am not alone. broke the chains that held me there. His love surrounds me everywhere. He will supply my every care. I am not alone. What a wonderful change in my life, right? It's like we sing in that gospel hymn, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart, right? Changes everything. Changes everything. In fact, it redirects us. I don't know about you, but sometimes there are points in my life where I've laid out a plan for the Lord. You ever do that? You lay out a plan for the Lord, like, Lord, I'd like this, this, and this, and this order, and you know, all that type of thing. How often does the Lord seem to follow our plans for our life? Not very often, right? You know, I'm actually grateful for that, though, right? Because He knows the way that I should take. He knows what's around the corner. I don't. In fact, what He wants us to do instead of charting a plan for our own life is to simply sign that blank piece of paper and say, Lord, You write the blueprint. You direct my steps, and I'll follow You. That's what this next song is about. Simple song, simply entitled Blueprints. But you know, sometimes the Lord takes the very things that we see as detours. On my way up here, I actually went over to Indiana first to see a friend of mine who's having, was going to be quadruple bypass. Now it's six bypasses that he's going to have tomorrow morning. I wanted to go see him. And I hit a lot of detours along the way. But you know, you never know. Maybe that detour, maybe that delay that you have, etc., might cause you to avoid something. We don't know. We probably won't know until this side of heaven. Sometimes He uses those very things we think of as impediments. He uses them in our lives to speak to us. Blueprints. If the life I live went the way I planned, if the blueprints that I drafted came to be, there's no shadow of a doubt that no one else about would recognize that I was even me. I'm sure, dear Lord, You know I'm not complaining. I'd never claim to know what's best for me. I'm simply taking time to re-acknowledge that even when our blueprints disagree, I'll thank You for the things that made me different, things that no one else could understand. The things I thought just held me back from what I planned to be, they're the very things You use to speak to me. Lord, the things that make You mean the world to me. The life I live isn't what I planned, and the blueprints that I drafted just can't be. There's no shadow of a doubt. You know what You're about. You shape the hidden dreams inside of me. I'm sure, dear Lord, You know I'm not complaining. I'd never claim to know what's best for me. I'm simply taking time to re-acknowledge that even when our blueprints disagree, I'll thank You for the things that made me different, that no one else could understand. The things I thought just held me back from what I planned to be. They're the very things you use to speak to me. Lord, the things that make you mean the world to me. The things I thought just held me back from what I planned to be. They're the very things you use to speak to me. Lord, the things that make you mean the world to me. Now, I promised you this morning that I'd do more a cappella work. How many of you enjoy some of that a cappella stuff? Yeah, I do. I do as well. And this is one my favorite hymn text, actually. How many of you have a favorite hymn that changes, changes like every year? All right, I keep going back from between Blessed Assurance, which is, it's always either my favorite or my second favorite, and then this hymn text, which is Amazing Love, How Can It Be That Thou, My God, Would Die For Me? I love that hymn text. Mm. And it's hard to sing after it because I want to preach. Anyway, I came along, and sometimes I like to sing the hymns as they are, as they were written. Some of you may know this, that a lot of times one person would write lyrics, and then they would set those lyrics, they would write those lyrics so that you could sing them to multiple tunes. How many of you knew that? Okay, a few of you did, yes. That's why, for example, there's All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. But you can also sing it, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Right, it fits. And so I wanted to contribute a new tune to my favorite set of lyrics. And so this is my own tune for Amazing Love, How Can It Be? And then I'm going to do it all a cappella. And I have to explain a little bit. That we're moving now beyond the idea of four parts, okay? In fact, what I call this is vocal orchestra, all right? Because I'm thinking in terms of an orchestra. There's going to be 24 voices that I've recorded, and I do all the parts like an orchestra. Now, I don't try to sound like an orchestra, right? I think, I'm not going to do that. I think that'd be distracting, you know? But I do think in terms of like the strings, and the string bass, thum, 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 right? I'll do those things, and I'll think in terms of that as I arrange it, and then I sing the melody line on top. So this might be new to some of you. I hope you'll enjoy it. Everything that I do a cappella-wise, I want it to support what the words are saying, and I trust it'll do so in this song, Amazing Love. Do, 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 do. And can it be that I should gain an interest in my Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain? For me who him to death pursued? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, would die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? He left his Father's throne above, so vast, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. 'Tis mercy all, immense and free, for, oh my God, it found out me. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? I am prison spirit laid, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thy night diffused a quickening ray. I walk the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me?
Amazing love, amazing love, amazing love.
This next song, I'll do another a cappella song for you after a little bit. But this next song has a testimony attached to it. And I wrote this song for two reasons. First, the first verse is reflects a burden I have for pastors. And now, I've never been a pastor. I interned at five different churches before I went on the road to make sure I wanted to catch that pastor's heart. I honestly believe an evangelist without a pastor's heart does more harm than good. Because you don't want to come in, blow up, and blow out, right? You want to come in and care for the people like an assistant for the week. But I have such a burden for pastors, and I'm sure you pray for your pastor, but don't ever stop. Because as the devil puts a target on pastors and their families, I really believe that. And so the first verse reflects that burden that I have for pastors. The second verse is based on a real-life situation where some friends of ours lost two of their children to a rare genetic disorder before the age of 10. And my wife and I have not walked through that particular valley, but to spend some time with them and to see their faith strengthen in spite of the fact that God didn't answer their prayers the way that they wanted him to. My friend shared with me, he said, you know, God didn't change the circumstances, but he changed us. And so I hope this song will be an encouragement to you. It's entitled, I'll Pray Again. It was late Sunday night. The car door closed softly. Footsteps came up the stairs. Young Pastor Tony met his wife at the entrance, his face lined with a thousand cares. We've been here 2 years and nothing's changed. These people won't listen at all. I'm out of answers and I'm feeling small. But as he read in the Bible, page after page, his heart was convinced to stay in the race. He knelt by his desk, then lay on the floor. Though I don't understand what it's for, I'll trust one day more. I'll pray again, I'll kneel again, I'll knock on the door, asking for more strength for the fight, peace in the night, trusting by faith the answer he'll send. I'll pray again. At 2:15 again in the morning, a mother wakes up again. Her youngest daughter has a special condition. They say that she won't pass 10. The worry so great and nothing's changed. Does God understand us at all? We're out of answers and we're feeling small. But as she read in the Bible, page after page, the comfort came in right along with grace. Her hand held her daughter and they knelt on the floor. Though we don't understand what it's for, we'll trust one day more. We'll pray again, we'll kneel again, we'll knock on the door, ask him for more strength for the fight, peace in the night, trusting by faith the answer he'll send. We'll pray the darkness surrounds you, and God seems so silent, your back's against the wall. You may be tempted to doubt God's goodness. It feels like he won't hear your call. The questions take shape and cloud your mind. Is God in control after all? My life's out of balance and I'm going to fall. But if you'll read in the Bible, page after page, you'll see that he's there and he'll never forsake. Surrender your life is all you must do. You'll begin to see God's point of view. He's there to change you. Go pray again, go kneel again, go knock on the door, ask him for more strength for the fight, peace in the night, trusting by faith the answer he'll send. Go pray again. Oh, kneel again. I'll pray again.
You know, it's hard sometimes to trust the Lord that way, isn't it? When we can't see around the corner. And, but that prayer would be our first response, not our last resort. Oh, what a change that would make. One more song here for you. I'll do some more in a little bit, but this is one that I didn't learn until I married into my wife's family, because that's how that works, right? I was born and raised up in Michigan, and then I married into... Please don't hold against me, all right? I'm not a Wolverine. I'm a Spartan, but I don't know if that makes it any better or not. But anyway, I married into the South. I married into an Alabama family. And they introduced me to a whole bunch of new music that I hadn't really come across. And this was one of my favorites. And so I'll sing it for you now. It's Still the Blood. Once I wandered in sin's dark night, and there was no way I could make my wrongs right. Then that old accuser to the Lord did cry, he is a sinner, and now he must die.
Father, I'll go. I'll pay his sin debt in Calvary's flow. I'll bear in my body the marks of the cross to save that poor child who is sin-sick and lost. And it's still the blood that saves from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within, from the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea. It's still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me. There are those who rely on the works that they do, and some men count on the times they pray through. But when the battle's over and my last song is sung, I'll go home through the blood of my Father's precious Son. And it's still the blood that saves from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within, from the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea. It's still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me. From the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea, it's still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me. Yes, it's still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me.
Have some guests and visitors with us. Belinda, it's so good to have you with us. Belinda and I have been friends since junior high school, just, you know, 20, 30 years ago. And some folks back here, their church is without electric tonight, so they dropped in on us. Good to have these folks with us and others that are visiting with us. Let's stand together, find some people, move around, and greet one another. We'll fellowship a little bit, and then we'll sing in a moment, I Am Blessed. I'm going to need you, Miss Debbie, for the fellowship song. You can fellowship without the piano playing. Go right ahead. It's perfectly allowable. Let her in there, Brother Ben. We'll do one little thing here. And all right, good. Here we go. I am blessed. I am blessed every day that I live. I am blessed. Well, when I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed. Sing it again. Here we go. I am blessed. Much. You may be seated. Ushers, come ahead, please, to receive our offering tonight, and the offering, unless it's otherwise designated. is for our evangelist, our guest, our friend. And I feel like our church has made a new friend having Brother Everson with us, and we certainly want to be a blessing and a help to him. Now, one reason that song, It's Still the Blood, is so good, written by a dear lady right down here in the next county over, Miss Lois Gale, that's a West Virginia song. That's why it's extra good, just so you'll know that. All right. Praise the Lord. All right, let's pray together. Brother Jim Eden, would you lead us in prayer tonight? Amen.
Draw me nearer, amen. Oh boy, that's a way to have comfort in the midst of trials, and comfort and strength in the midst of an insecure world, which is certainly where we're living. A few more songs for you here tonight, if my iPad will recognize my face. There it is. All right, good. Technology's great when it works, right? Well, let's see here. This is one that Ron Hamilton wrote. How many of you are familiar with Captain Patch? Patch the Pirate, Ron Hamilton. This is one of my favorites of his. Pastor, I don't know if we'll sing songs up there that were written down here, but if we do, I hope this is one of them. It's entitled Bow the Knee, and I love this song, and it's going to be a cappella, so all the voices you hear, of course, I've recorded. And if you'd like to hear Patch, actually, before he, of course, he's not able to sing anymore, and such, but before he, this is a number of years ago, we actually sing this song together on YouTube, so you can look it up on there, and it's a great, I'm so glad we were able to do that at that time. Of course, you're stuck with my voice tonight, not his rich, deep voice, but I love this song. It's entitled Bow the Knee. Privilege to come into God's presence, just to linger with the one who set me free,
as I lift my eyes and see his awesome glory, I remember who he is and bow the knee. King of all the ages, bow the knee. God alone on his throne, see him high and lifted up, and bow the knee. Kneel before him, all adore him as you live to love him more. Bow the knee. In his hands he holds the power of creation. With his voice he spoke, and all things came to be. Yet he hears its simple prayer I bring before him, when I humbly seek his face and bow the knee. Bow the knee, bow the knee, bow the knee, bow the knee. He is King of all the ages, bow the knee. God alone on his throne, see him high and lifted up, and bow the knee. Kneel before him, all adore him, as you live to love him more, bow the knee. Bow the knee, bow the knee. He is King of all the ages, bow the knee. God alone on his throne, see him high and lifted up, and bow the knee. Before him, all adore him, as you live to love him more, bow the knee.
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 One day we'll see him. Amen. The Bible says there's going to be a day when every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What a privilege it is to do it now. What a privilege it is to do it now. This next song I'm going to sing for you is one that I wrote. And this is one that talks about who Jesus was and is. And I was thinking, I like to imagine myself in the accounts of Scripture. And this is one that I did thinking about Jesus and how the God of the universe had to walk everywhere that he went. You think about that? He had to sleep. Isn't that something? He had to eat. He got tired. It's one of those things that I don't know if we'll ever understand, even in eternity. But I was thinking about the account where the storm came up on the Sea of Galilee. He was sleeping in the bottom of the boat. Remember that? Of course, the disciples get worried. They wake him up. Lord, don't you care? We're going to die. And he speaks. The Bible says he rebukes the winds and the waves. He said, peace be still. And the waves were calmed. The winds were stilled. And then I believe it's Peter speaks up and says, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the seas obey him? What a God we serve. Listen to these words as I try to describe who he was and is. What manner of man is this? As soon as I, what kind of man is this? This man that I've seen cry when his friend faced death, but with his next breath raised him yet alive. What manner of man is this, whom winds and seas obey? What kind of man is this, who teaches how to pray like we've never known, go before the throne of the Father on high? He is Jesus, King of creation. He is Jesus, bound up in humanness, needing food and sleep and rest, fully man yet wholly God. What manner of man is this? This, who stands out from the crowd? What kind of man is this, before whom a father bows and with sorrowed voice makes the humble choice to beg his daughter's life? What manner of man is this, who makes a blind man see and frees an outcast soul from his leprosy, takes a laughing stock and then makes him walk just like you and me? He is Jesus, King of creation. He is Jesus, Lord of all nations, bound up in humanness, needing food and sleep and rest, fully man yet wholly God. What manner of man is this? What manner of man is this, who stands in Pilate's hall while screaming crowds insist he'd die and suffer all? What kind of man is this, suspended between earth and heaven, in blood and agony, so I could be forgiven? What manner of man is this? What manner of God is this? God we serve. Amen. Oh, what a God we serve. Well, I've got one more planned for you here tonight. And it's kind of a dangerous song to do because it has hints of a lullaby in it. And I still am going to preach a little bit. Just one point out of three, okay? I'm not going to keep you super late. But that's dangerous, sing a lullaby song right before you preach, right? But in all seriousness, I was thinking about the passage in Psalms where the psalmist says, it's vain to sit up late. I'm paraphrasing, but it's vain to sit up late at night and eat the bread of sorrow. Remember that passage, right? Now, I'm on the keto diet, so any bread to me is the bread of sorrow. But that's not what he's talking about there, right? What's he talking about? He's talking about the worry, the fear that can keep us awake at night. And he goes on in that same passage and said, for so giveth he his beloved sleep. You know, sleep can be a gift from God. It really can. Whether we're going through pain, suffering, worry, fear, whatever it is, that peace from God, that sleep that God gives. You know, I wrote a song about it because that's what I do. That's what I like to do. And I thought if it would encourage me, perhaps it would encourage some others. And so you know why we can rest peacefully? You know why we can go to sleep? Because he stays awake. He doesn't sleep, he doesn't slumber. This one's entitled, God's Awake. Are you always drawing circles in your mind? A peaceful slice of time is hard to find. Equations of the day steal your energy away and leave you weak and stumbling, feeling blind. Go to sleep, 'cause God's awake. Nothing passes by him by mistake. Go to sleep and rest your head. And give your tears and fears to him instead. He sees the smallest sparrow, he crafts each snowy flake. Don't eat the bread of sorrow, go to sleep, God's awake. Nothing good will come from trusting your own way. What seems so good right now may fade away. But leaning on the Lord, simply trusting in his word, will give you peace and set your mind at ease. Go to sleep, 'cause God's awake. Nothing passes by him by mistake. Go to sleep and rest your head and give your tears and fears to him instead. He sees the smallest sparrow, he crafts each snowy flake. Don't eat the bread of sorrow, go to sleep, God's awake. Worry won't take sorrow from tomorrow, but steals away your strength from you today. Go to sleep, 'cause God's awake. Nothing passes by him by mistake. Go to sleep and rest your head and give your tears and fears to him instead. He sees the smallest sparrow, he crafts each snowy flake. Don't eat the bread of sorrow, go to sleep, God's awake. Go to sleep.
to sleep. God's awake.
All right, grab your Bibles if you would please tonight. It's always difficult when I'm at a church, especially for the first time, and it's a setup like this, because I know I've been asked to come in usually for the music side of things, which is great. And so I want to give you as much music as possible, and yet I also want to spend some time in the Word of God. So I do know that you've got great echo in here for music, and I tend to speak quickly, so I'm going to try to slow myself down a little. But I forgot to ask if I'm allowed to move around.
A little bit.
Okay, all right. The zone right here is the zone. I'll just stay right here. That's not a big deal, actually, to be honest with you. Go to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter number 3, if you would, with me this evening. Just a one-point message tonight. It's got 20 subpoints. I'm just teasing, and that's an old one, I know. But I do have a table out. I don't know how to describe where it is, but it's directly behind us here. And so I'll be there at the table if you'd like to pick up any CDs. All the music, of course, that I've sung tonight is on CD. I've got 4 all a cappella albums. So if that's your thing, you can pick those up. And let's see. What else was I going to say? I've got a few books left. I've almost been bought out of the books that I have, but I got some books back there. You know, if that would be of interest to you, wrote one, updated one that I'd written a while back on revival. Oh, we need revival, amen? I really believe we do. And actually, I asked if Dr. Frank Garlock would co-author a couple chapters with me, and he did. And I know we usually think of him as a music guy, but what a heart and a passion he has to see God do a work again and afresh in this day and age. And so he and I did that book together. That's out on the table. And then the last thing I'll say is, I know some of you, because you've talked with me, are on our email list. And we are changing around the email list to be a lot more helpful than just like a newsletter. In fact, if you sign up, you can go to our website or sign up at the table. If you'd like 9 free voice lessons, I'm giving them away for free. And so full video voice lessons. This is a $400 course that I developed a number of years ago. But if you want to sign up, I'll send that to you. And we just want to do everything possible to be a blessing to folks. And email is actually our primary way of doing that. I know social media, we are on social media, but you never know when you might say something terribly outlandish like the Bible's the Word of God, and you'll get kicked off. And so we trust email a little bit more than social media. And so if you want to sign up, you can pick up a card at our table, sign up yourself. Or if you do sign up in your address is like 111 LLIIIO00. Let me know which are the ones and the zeros and all that stuff, all right? Daniel chapter number 3, I'm going to be moving fairly quickly here. You know the story here, the account. We've got someone with an ego problem, an eye problem. Nebuchadnezzar, he's bored. So what am I going to do? I know, I'll build a statue to myself, right? And isn't that the natural human inclination of pride? Oh, I'm going to tell everybody how great I am. In fact, I'm going to have everybody worship it. Do you realize that every moment of every day, something is vying for our worship? Something is vying for your attention. Something is vying for the center of your heart. It never changes, will always be the same. Wow, that's not even the message, but that's convicting, isn't it? Well, he calls together all these people, the princes and the governors and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces, verse 2. Gather them together. They're going to have a big praise and worship service. Only it's not going to be a praising and worshiping God of heaven. It's going to be a false god. And by the way, I'm not preaching on this tonight, but it does bear in mind the fact that music is an integral part of worship. It really is.
But just because we have music doesn't mean we're necessarily worshiping the right thing, the right person. That's just an interesting thought there, right? Look at verse 4. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut." By the way, that's trombone. That's the ancestor to the trombone. It's a funny little title there, right? But that's the, think trombone there, right? Psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Dear Lord, I pray you'd help me in these just couple minutes we have remaining tonight. Thank you for these dear people. Thank you for the faithfulness of this church. Lord, I pray your richest blessings on these folks, on Pastor and his family. Lord, I pray that we'd see mighty works here in the days before you come. In Jesus' name, amen. Therefore, at that time, verse 7, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. You know, there's going to be a time on this planet where all the nations and all the languages and all the people are going to be brought together to worship an Antichrist, the Antichrist. It's coming. We can see smatterings of it here and there, even today. Wherefore, look at verse 8, at that time, certain Chaldeans, these are like the sneaky, slimy, you know, snakes in the grass, right? They came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. I see like three of them there, right? And one guy's like the spokesman, right? Do you ever paint pictures in your mind when you read the Bible? I think it's healthy to do that. Now, you don't turn around and get, you know, truth out of the pictures that you painted, right? There's a whole book some guy out there wrote on how to, get inspiration from the things you came up with. That's terrible. That's like plugging in an extension cord to itself and wondering why you don't have any power. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is just putting yourself into the account. So these sneaky guys, they Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They're riling up the king. They've been waiting, no doubt, just like they'll do with Daniel later on. They've been waiting for an opportunity to accuse the godly. Does that sound familiar? Listen, friends, the more things change, the more things stay the same. And we're going to have to be ready for those who are waiting for an opportunity to accuse the godly. You're going to get reported one day on social media. My wife got kicked off of social media, off of Facebook. And we still don't know the answer why, right? Now, I'm not against social media, by the way. I'm on the platforms. I think we should use them as long as we can. But don't be surprised when somebody comes knocking because you dare to stand for the truth. Remember what Paul prays, by the way? Deliver us from unreasonable men is the idea there. When he's talking about there, he's praying, let the word of God may have free course. That word for free course there has to do with the idea of water running downhill. But part of his prayer also in that section is, deliver us from unreasonable men is the idea. Do we have unreasonable men today? Absolutely. Well, anyway, Verse 13, then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, at what time ye shall hear, ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. He makes a critical error here, by the way. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Critical error on King Nebuchadnezzar's part. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. By the way, that doesn't mean that they were careless. It means that they didn't have to think about it. You follow what I mean? Like, they didn't have to think, obey God or obey men. They didn't have to think, worship God or worship men. No, they already knew the answer. The king's giving them a second chance. They don't need a second chance. If it be so, verse 17, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. You've got to be careful there. We've got to be careful there, because if we just read it quickly, it kind of seems like they knew that God was going to deliver them. That's not the case. What they're saying is, if God wants to, then he will. But I want you to read what I think are the most important three words of the entire account. Are you ready? And this is the entirety of my message tonight. Look at verse 18. But if not. I'm not going to read the rest of the account. So, wait a minute, Brother Ben. God's going to do a miracle. I know that. Wait a minute, Brother Ben. They throw them in, and then the guys who tied them up, they all die because it's so hot. I know that. Brother Ben, there's going to be a fourth man walking around in there. I know that. They're going to come out. I know that. But they didn't. Sometimes we read these accounts in Scripture and we forget that they had to live through it. We know the ending, but they didn't. Can I ask you this question? What happens if God chooses not to rescue our country? Listen, I'm praying that he does. Don't get me wrong. I'm praying for revival in God's people that spills over into the lost. Amen? That's how it works. You can't revive what's not been vived. So I'm praying for that. But what if God chooses to let America have her own way? That's the greatest judgment that God can allow upon a nation, upon a country, upon a people, is to let them have their own way. God gave them up. God gave them up. God gave them over, Romans chapter 1. And we're in the midst of that, I think. What if God doesn't deliver? But if not, what? We will not serve thy gods. You know what, friends? I think it's vitally important that we teach our young people that are coming behind us that the story doesn't always end well this side of heaven. See, there's a great weakness as I've watched our churches now for over 20 years full time, but longer than that I was traveling in churches and such, and I think there's a great weakness. We kind of, without realizing it sometimes, we've taught the next generation that if you believe God, you trust God, everything's going to work out. That is a true statement, but sometimes we forget to say that it may not be in this life. And that's vitally important for us to realize ourselves and then make sure we pass it on. Because what's going to happen is it's like a friend of mine. I went to high school with him. He said he was on a revival team with me. I formed a revival team in high school, Christian high school, and we would travel around and we prayed together and we even fasted together in those early days, you know, trying to figure out these great things, how to get a hold of God and how to ask for God's power. And he'd tell you today that he's an atheist. And a big reason, one of the big reasons is that he's told me to my face, well, Christianity works well for you. because you have a nice family and you've got, you know, God takes care of you. You know, it works for you. But when I got saved, it's because I was told that everything would work out well, and it hasn't. Who are you going to serve when things don't go the way you want them to? It ought to be God. Friends, tonight, can we do a heart check? It's a simple, I told you, it's a simple mess. That's it. But if not, oh, let's pray. Let's ask God to do a work in our country. Let's ask God to change the hearts of people. Let's ask God to do a mighty work of revival. And by the way, I believe he can. And in fact, I believe that it's even more likely the darker things get for us to see real revival. Because that's, as it's been said, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Now, I'm not, please don't get me wrong, I'm not signing myself up to be a martyr, okay? But I do think sometimes we lose sight of the fact that we've got brothers and sisters in Christ in different countries around this world who've been living this while we've been enjoying our freedom. Now, friend, I've got a whole nother message about how we ought not feel guilty for the good things God gives us. This is not a guilt message. Oh, we live in America, we ought to feel guilty. No, but we ought to feel privileged and we ought to have a responsibility. But what happens when, as Pastor said this morning, our country has been an exception, really, for 200 years. But we're not anymore. But if not, what if things keep going the way they are? Can I close with just a little bit of a, I guess, personal testimony? This comes from my own heart. I don't want to offend anybody, okay? That's not my goal. If the shoe fits, okay? But I've heard so much as I've been traveling, I've heard so much complaining from God's people about gas prices. Now, I don't like the gas prices either, believe me. I travel for a living, right? And I understand that gas prices can be an example, kind of like a thermometer of how things are going economically. I understand that. But I wonder to myself, if the cost of gas going up a dollar keeps us from going to church, how strong of a Christian are we really? Right? I mean, at least we don't live in California. It's like $8 a gallon out there. But if not, what if gas keeps going up? What if there's food shortages? I said, Brother Ben, this isn't very encouraging. Listen, how big's your faith? Listen, if we can reach into our wallets and answer all our own prayers, then we don't have a very big God. I think sometimes, I really think that the whole COVID thing, et cetera, was the Lord taking this snow globe of a planet and he just went like this. And he shook us all up. Well, we've been praying for that, haven't we? Lord, shake us up. Lord, keep us from being comfortable. Lord, wake us up from our apathy. Lord, wake us up from our cruise control Christianity. So he does. And then we're like, Lord, what are you doing? Well, maybe he's got something special for us above all that we can ask or think. But if not, friend, let's keep serving him no matter how difficult it gets, no matter how dark it gets, because then the light shines even brighter, and we'll see him do great things in us and through us. I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. I don't know what your normal custom is on a Sunday night. In a moment, I'm just going to turn it over to Pastor and ask him to close as he sees fit this evening. This message and the music has been kind of targeted towards believers this evening, but I never want to take for granted that there might not be someone listening who doesn't know Christ. Friend, if that's you tonight, whether you're here in this room or you're watching the live stream, let me beg of you, don't let tonight pass without trusting Christ. He paid your sin debt on the cross of Calvary and rose again, proving he's got power over sin, over death, over hell, over the grave. But friend, you've got to receive that gift. You've got to receive that payment. I remember when I was about 8 years old, I trusted Christ. I said, Lord, prayed a simple prayer. It wasn't a magic prayer, was just simple and from my heart. Lord, I know I'm a sinner, but I believe Jesus died for me and rose again. Would you forgive me of my sin? and take me to heaven when I die. That's how I worded it as an 8-year-old. If you'll pray that now and mean it from your heart, you'll be saved, the Bible says. But Christian, what about you? Have you determined in your heart, with the Lord helping you, that, but if not, you'll stay faithful? Dear Lord, I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you for these three, we call them sometimes three Hebrew children. They were, we don't know their exact ages, but they certainly weren't 30s and 40s. They were young men. But yet they had the courage to stand in the middle of multitudes of nations and a kingdom that says serve something other than God. Lord, sometimes we can serve our own convenience. We can serve our own comfort. We can serve our own fear. As Pastor said this morning, sometimes we just want to fit in. Lord, help us to take up our cross, as Pastor preached this morning, and set aside all those things, our own ambition, our own direction and decisions, our own pride, Lord, and just say, I want to be faithful to you. Would you help us in this, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor, you go.